Our scripture reading this morning comes from two different places. You may want to look them both up at this time. The first one, of course, is Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. And the second place is from the book of James, chapter 3. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, and James chapter 3, starting at verse 3. And, of course, the book of James comes right after the book of Hebrews. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word. Exodus 20, verse 16. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And then James chapter 3, starting at verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses and make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Thus the reading of God's word this morning. Words mean everything. Have you ever thought of how important words are to human relationships? If words are not true and honest, relationships break down. When a wife finds out that her husband has been lying, she begins to wonder what else he may have lied about. When a parent discovers that their child has done something and lied about it, the parents wonder what other things the child has done and lied about. When words are not honest and true, relationships fall apart because there is no trust of words. Relationships are built on trust, and trust comes through honesty and honest words. In many ways, the relationships that we have with one another are the same kind of relationships that we have with God. Our relationships depend upon words. Our relationship with God depends upon words. Take a look at Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. As Israel stood before Mount Sinai, God told Moses these words. You yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt, and have how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. As God gave his covenant at Mount Sinai, he gave his covenant in words. He promised these people that he would make them a holy nation, that they would be his treasured possession. God promised these people in his covenant with words that they would inherit a promised land, a land flowing with milk and with honey. Here is Israel sitting out at Mount Sinai in a desert land. They have been walking through the desert up until this point, and they are living upon the words of God that he will bring them to a better land and to a better place. God's covenant is made with words. And the people in their relationship with him are required to trust and to know his words. And God confirmed his covenant. He confirmed his words with the sacrificial system. Not only did he tell them the promises, not only did he give them these commands, but he confirmed it with the blood and the sacrifice of the Lamb. And so when God gives his people these commandments in Exodus chapter 20, he is revealing something about himself. God tells his people that they must demonstrate what he is. God does not curse in the effort to destroy someone. God honors those who love him. God does not murder. God does not commit adultery. God does not steal. And God does not give false testimony. God is declaring to his people, I am the God of truth. I am trustworthy. I am not deceiving. My words are always true and will always be true. And so as you live as my people in this covenant relationship, as you trust my words and know that my words are faithful and honest, so must you in your relationships demonstrate truth and honesty. You see, when we are honest and truthful in our words, we reflect God, our Father. If we are lying and deceiving, we reflect someone else. Turn to the book of John, chapter 8. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. In John chapter 8, verse 42, Jesus declares these words. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and a father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me? Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is because you do not belong to God." Jesus declares in this passage who the father of lies is. Lies and deception does not come from God. He is truthful and honest and trustworthy. But lies and deception comes from the father of lies, from the devil himself, from Satan. It is his native language. He is the liar. And when people speak lies, their words are not God's words, but they're Satan's words himself. And so as God's people stand before Mount Sinai, God is declaring to them that their words must reflect him, that their words to one another must reflect his trustworthiness, his honesty, his truthfulness. They must live with one another and speak to one another as God speaks to them. They must demonstrate who he is in their lives as they relate to one another. And in the New Testament, God has given us the responsibility to obey this command in an even greater way. For as Israel stands before God at Mount Sinai, there is distance between them. God is on the mountain and the people are down below. But as we live in this New Testament day, the Lord Jesus Christ has brought us even closer to God. He has brought us into the throne room of God Himself, and we live our lives standing before God each day as if we were in heaven. And so we read in Hebrews chapter 4 this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. You see, there is no lying or deception in heaven. No one can lie in heaven because God knows everything. It would be impossible for you to say something to God that He doesn't already know. There's no half-truths. There's no little stories to tell that are twisted in such a way that it doesn't seem quite so bad. There's no looking to your neighbor and saying, well, you know, what I did is I did this, but you don't tell the whole story. God knows it all. You can't tell a half-truth because God knows all the truth. You can't try to make it sound better because God knows already what happened. There is no hiding. As you live on this earth, you may be able to hide something from your neighbor. You may be able to hide something from your spouse or another family member, but you can't hide it from God. He knows it already. He is the God of truth, and He knows falsehood, and there is no hiding. And so, as you live before God's face, here now, you must live that way. You may think that you can hide things or get out of things or not suffer the consequences here on this earth. But God already knows. And if God knows, that's who is most important. And so as we live knowing that Christ has saved us and brought us to this place. We live knowing that God has confirmed His covenant in His Son, the Lord Jesus. We know that His Son, who was and is the truth and the life, has fulfilled God's words of the Old Testament, has fulfilled His covenant at Mount Sinai, has fulfilled what the prophets have said, has confirmed in His death that God is true, that His way of salvation is true, and that we must live as if He is true. Someone who lies, most often you will find that they are bitter. Their whole life is a life of hiding. And a small lie becomes a bigger lie. Look at James chapter 3, verse 3 once again. When we put bits into the mouths of horses and make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take a ship as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Someone who is not honest with themselves often are very bitter and are angry. Someone who starts with a small lie, suddenly that lie becomes the purpose of their life. They try to cover things up. A small lie becomes what steers their entire life and where they are going and how they do things and how they think, all to cover up their lie. Notice verse 6. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Why are they miserable? Why are they bitter and angry? Because their lie has left them that way. Think, for example, of the girl who becomes pregnant and doesn't want to tell her parents. So she has an abortion. No one knows. What started out as a small lie becomes a greater sin. What started out as a small lie becomes worse and worse for that person. What started out as something which was small and could have been dealt with simply becomes the focus of their cover-up, and others are separated from them. I think we know from this past year what happened to our president when he was not honest and truthful. A whole year of cover-up and deception that became worse and worse and worse. God commands us to be honest and truthful. God commands us not to go that route. God commands us to live like Christ, who is truth. Look at verse 9 of James 3. With the tongue we praise our Lord and our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. What James is saying is, someone who knows Christ and who knows the truth cannot live with a lie. Why? Because that's like trying to put salt water and fresh water together. It's like someone who is a fig tree bearing olives or a grapevine bearing figs. The two can't fit together. Christ is the truth and the life. Christ has brought you close to Him. And as someone who knows Christ and who lives like Christ, lies can't be the fruit. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3. Paul tells his people this. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated in the hand at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him. Paul is declaring our union with Christ. God has brought us into union with Christ through His death and His resurrection. We have been raised with Him, says Paul in verse 1. We are seated with Him at the right hand of God, says Paul in verse 1. And Paul tells us in verse 4 and verse 3 that our lives are now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with Him in glory. And so, if we are in union with Christ, what does that mean? Verse 9, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and in the image of its Creator. Someone who has put on Christ, who has put on the truth, must reflect that truth in their words. Someone who has put on Christ and has put on the truth cannot lie. That's their former nature. That's their sinful nature. That's what they are striving to cleanse and to sanctify. That's what they are praying that God would rid from their lives. That's like salt water and fresh water being mixed together. You see, once we come to know Christ, once we are united with Him in His resurrection and in His life, our nature, our words must reflect that. That's Christ living on this earth. When a child does something wrong, and they know they're going to get punished for what they've done, they might think, hey, why don't I not tell mom and dad what I've done? Then I don't get punished. I'll tell them another story or a half-truth. But if the child comes forward and says, listen, I know what I did was wrong. I know I shouldn't have done that. I'm not going to lie, but I'm going to be truthful and take my punishment. The parent begins to see the Christ-like nature coming out in the child. Instead of falling into their sinful nature that they are trying to be sanctified from, they have demonstrated the truth of Christ. When a spouse does something that they know their other spouse will not like, instead of hiding and acting like it didn't happen or trying to word it in a way that it doesn't seem so bad, they can be truthful. They can proclaim what has happened and be honest and trustworthy. And what happens is they reflect the nature of Christ. You see, Christ's union with us is reflected as we are honest and truthful. And if we are not honest and truthful, we are alone and miserable. I have always believed that when we cannot trust one another or trust someone in their words, that person will be totally alone. If you want to have a strong relationship with God, pray to Him and be honest with Him. Tell Him what happened. He knows you. He knows what happened. Don't pray as if what you did maybe wasn't so bad. If that's what you do, He will remain at a distance. You want to have a strong marriage? Be honest with one another. When you hide things, when you keep things from one another, that's when separation exists. You see someone with a strong marriage and you think, hey, that's what I want. How come they get along and I don't get along? It's not because they fit better together. It's because they know each other better. You want to have a good relationship with your child? Be honest with the child and have the child be honest with you. Don't hide things or cover things, but let them see you for who you really are. And as they know you and as you know them, you will grow in your relationship with one another. You see, as we live out our union with Christ, we are drawn closer to one another. We live out what He has said. We live out what He has commanded. And as we grow closer to God, we grow closer to one another. You see, when we don't tell the truth, not only is that relationship with that other person damaged, but our union with Christ is damaged. You are united with Christ and belong to Him, and you've dumped salt water in the fresh water. As you are honest and trustworthy with one another, you are honest and trustworthy with God. As you are honest with one another, you go closer to God. As you demonstrate that in your lives, Christ is glorified on this earth. God has brought us unto Himself. He has given us forgiveness and love through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we go to Him. You don't have to hide. You don't have to think, well, you know, I never really brought that before the Lord because, it wasn't so bad. God has known everything about you. God wants everything to come before His throne as you deal with Him, as you deal with one another. Let us have our lives and our words reflect His words. Amen.